This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. More and more people are finding themselves addicted to opioids. It's an understatement to say that this is an addiction that's tough to beat. The users are looking for help, counseling, and ways to reclaim their lives. But who's going to be that helper? Being a drug counselor is a thankless, stressful, it's a lot of heartbreak there, not a dream job. But the demand for counselors for this area is growing. So are you a drug counselor? What is your story? Has a drug counselor been a lifesaver for you or someone in your family? Call in. Tell us what happened. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined by Dr. John Tennyson. He's a medical director at the Center for Healthcare Services and Opioid Addiction Treatment Program, and Bea Courtier. She is a director of addiction treatment services at the Center for Healthcare Services. And Dr. John and Bea, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What is this healthcare services place that you have here? What does this do?
Well, the Center for Healthcare Services is traditionally the mental health authority for Bexar County, and we are specifically affiliated with the opioid addiction treatment services within that operation. So that includes treatment for opioid addiction, which quite often includes someone who's become addicted to heroin. It can also include someone who's addicted to oral pill painkillers as well. And we basically, by the time someone comes to our clinic, they're already in a state of crisis as a result of that addiction, and that's what we treat.
So it's a methadone clinic, is that?
Essentially, yes. I think as a generalization, you could call it a methadone clinic, although we do have other medications such as Suboxone, which is a newer opioid so-called partial agonist, which we use as well.
And so what are you seeing be in the streets of San Antonio? Are we seeing an increase in opioid addiction? How is that happening?
Yes, we are seeing, unfortunately, similar to the national trends, San Antonio is being hit hard. Recently, the state of Texas did a study looking at heroin use throughout the state, and San Antonio had the distinction of coming in number one. We beat out Houston and Dallas. Houston and Dallas came in second and third, and then we had the Fort Worth area and Corpus Christi. But San Antonio did have that distinction of coming in first. It is a serious problem here, and one might say it's highly related to the fact that where we are geographically, it is the corridor for the drugs to funnel through from Mexico or from the south. They funnel this way, and then from here they head up to Midwest, New York, Illinois, and off it goes. But the drugs are funneled through here. So San Antonio has a very serious problem. There are currently 7 private methadone clinics in addition to the clinic that we have. The clinic that the Center for Healthcare Services has currently serves over 700 patients. And what we have found is that number just keeps increasing. Now, we could go higher. The issue being that we do not have the physicians nor the counselors to staff. It's hard because this is a very, very difficult and challenging population to work with.
So we're hearing the story that San Antonio is really being impacted by the heroin epidemic, the opioid crisis, that your center at the Center for Healthcare Services, which is downtown on Frio Street, you're maxed out. If you had more help, you could provide more help. Is that right, Dr. Tennyson?
Yes, that is correct. We've been searching for an additional physician, what we would call a program physician, to help supplement my work as medical director. So if there are any physicians listening who might be interested in becoming treatment providers at our clinic, we would certainly love to hear from them.
Would that be a full-time job, or could you do it as part-time?
That would be negotiable with the administration. I can see scenarios where either case could work.
Now, the counselors, what do the counselors do, Bea?
The counselors work with the patients on a daily basis. These are patients that go to our clinic pretty much on a daily basis to go and dose. But in addition to receiving a dose, this has to be accompanied by therapeutic treatment. They have to be engaged in counseling to address the issues and the reasons that led them to where they are at today, and addressing those and kind of giving them the tools and the techniques that they need to move on into a stable recovery in their life. So it is very intense. And in this particular field, unfortunately, the success rates are fewer and far between in comparison to the failures.
So you really have to fight to find success, you know, daily victories. And so, Dr. John, do you feel frustrated sometimes?
Well, I've become familiar with the frustration, so that they probably don't stress me out as much as they might some people. I generally think of the patients I see as falling into one of three categories. There are some patients who come to our clinic with an opioid addiction, and they are able to first stabilize on methadone and then gradually taper it down to zero, and we never hear from them again.
Like, what percentage of people can do that?
I'm going to venture a guess. I don't have good numbers, but I would probably say about a fifth of the patients that I see have that experience, where we don't necessarily know their outcome. We know that they successfully tapered down while they were at our clinic, and we don't hear from them again. Now, it is possible that they had a relapse and then ended up somewhere else, but about a fifth we see what is at least compatible with being off of opioids altogether. And then the other two categories are those who have, for example, who have had multiple relapses and have decided that a long-term methadone maintenance regimen is the lesser of two evils, as opposed to risking another relapse. And then the other category we see is someone who's kind of in a revolving door type of process, where we see them in and out of the clinic over several years.
And I had an expert on here not that long ago on the dopamine's effect on the brain, and he talked about the genetic variation that we have in people, that some people really are, even with the lab rats that they have in some of these experiments, some really are addicted. They get addicted quickly and they get addicted hard, and other people, and other specimens, not so much. They are able to break away. So it does really depend on the individual's biology.
That's right. In fact, only about 23% of individuals who use heroin go on to develop opioid addiction. So there's definitely a variation in propensity to develop addiction after having used opioids.
But there's enough people out there who do get hooked, and they get hooked hard. This is a life destroyer, not just for them, but for their families. We're going to talk more about the need for drug counselors here locally and across the nation. We invite you into our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Are you a drug counselor? Would you like to be a drug counselor? Has a drug counselor helped you or someone in your family? We want to hear that story. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The opioid epidemic continues to grow. More people are hooked on pain medication and heroin. It's causing a need for qualified drug counselors who can provide care, harm reduction, and effective rehab. These jobs are hard to fill because this work is tough, it's low pay, stressful, and there are few victories. So we're hearing what's happening on the streets of San Antonio. We heard in our first segment that San Antonio is really seeing an increase in heroin addiction, much more than across the state. With us is Dr. John Tennyson, the medical director of the Center for Healthcare Services and Opioid Addiction Treatment Facility here in San Antonio, and B. Cortuachi is the director of Addiction Treatment Services at the Center for Healthcare Services. And let's bring in another voice. This is Jeff Zorinsky. He is the director of Strategic Initiatives at Advocates for Human Potential, a healthcare consulting group. And Jeff, welcome to The Source.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm delighted to be here, David.
So we're seeing that the Bureau of Labor Statistics projects a 22% increase in the need for drug counselors by 2024. Are you seeing a need for drug counselors?
Well, the projection is correct, but it partly underestimates the severity of the problem. I think that both John and B were talking about, in part because between, I think, 2010 and 2020, there are going to be 194,000 job openings for behavioral health professional workers. And of those openings, just 92,000 are due to growth. The balance are due to the fact that people are retiring or leaving the occupation because they burned out, as we were saying earlier, or want to make more money elsewhere. And that is going to put enormous strain on educational pipelines to fill all these openings. And it's probably unlikely that they'll be able to do that and ameliorate the problem that practitioners out in the field are facing.
Having a lack of qualified drug counselors, what does that mean in terms of, as we see this exploding epidemic?
Well, I mean, you know, it means that things may get worse before they get better, despite the increases in federal funding to increase the availability of services. We know that in 2013, for example, of everyone diagnosed nationally with a substance use disorder, 80% didn't receive treatment and didn't even think they needed treatment. And oftentimes, you know, these are people that eventually step over the line and wind up in the ER and the kind of program that John and Bea operate. And, you know, it's only about 13% nationally of people with a diagnosed problem get services. And as the opioid crisis, you know, continues, that's just going to get worse. People are not going to be able to get the timely services that they need.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation. 210-614-8980. Dee has called in. And Dee, hi, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing fine.
Yeah, I just wanted to call let you know I was a classic example of starting out with, prescription pain meds and led me to a heroin addiction when I couldn't get them. You know, I found out it was cheaper on the street. And I started that methadone program, and I just want to say that anybody who's hooked on heroin, they need to get down there and use it because it saved my life. I mean, that stuff works. Anybody who questions it, they need to go and try it. And that's all I just want to tell you all, that stuff works. It saved my life. And anybody who's thinking about trying to get off heroin, that stuff works, and that program works. That's pretty much all I want to say. I'm in it.
Okay, Dee. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate your story. So Dee says it works, Dr. Tennyson.
Yes. Well, thank you for your call, Dee. Thank you for your call. We hear that kind of account all the time. Dee's a great example of someone for whom the methadone has worked and worked well. And basically, you know, we deal with the skepticism for those who might not be familiar with methadone. Sometimes we live with the misconception that methadone is simply substituting one addiction for another addiction. But in fact, methadone is, when it works in the way Dee is describing, is not associated with the problematic behaviors, the illegal behaviors, the behaviors that are likely to induce infection or create infection. So there's so many principles that essentially create harm reduction when using methadone as compared to heroin.
Now we got a caller, Father Brendan, and he has a different take on the use of methadone. And Father, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I was saying that during the Vietnam War, it was decided to start a counseling center for the U.S. Army at Fort Lewis, and I was the first enlisted counselor there, became the chief counselor. But we studied every type of thing that was going on at that time, admittedly more than 40 years ago, but made the conscious decision not to use methadone. And the reason for that decision was study of how that was working overseas. Now, I've had personal experience with that. I've been doing a lot of drug counseling in the years since. And this is my understanding. If you step over bodies in Amsterdam lying on the sidewalk near the methadone center, you step over bodies in the public park. In Denmark, in Aarhus, you step over bodies in Germany. These are people that are getting methadone. Admittedly, they're not getting all the diseases they would get from needles. But I don't see in my own experience that counseling works if what you're saying is, now you're going to be using methadone instead and you won't be hanging out with the same guys. Yes, it will save your life. So will heroin save your life? You can operate very well. You can be a doctor on heroin addiction. Nobody would even know, except maybe your family. But I don't see that that is helpful. Sorry, I'm really old school here. But I think you have to deal with a whole range of issues, how you got to the point you are psychologically, why doctors are prescribing OxyContin all the time, or oxycodone or whatever, when it's not needed, why Americans think they shouldn't have any pain, et cetera. Lots of issues there.
All right, Father, thank you.
Personally, I don't, surely.
All right. Well,
I'll go off the air.
Okay, all right. So he doesn't think methadone is a solution because it just gets people hooked on something else and you still have these other issues. He brought up some other factors, but those are different issues for people involved in the timeline. You know, those are the questions we should be asking before, but you're getting people, they're showing up on your doorstep, they're in crisis, right?
That's right. That's right. And I do appreciate your call, Father. I would say this, that fortunately in San Antonio, we don't have a situation where anyone's literally stepping over bodies outside of our methadone clinic. So if methadone is being prescribed at a rate that's creating sedation or causing someone to be less alert than they otherwise would be, then that's an abuse of the methadone. And I do want to be very honest. You know, methadone is an opioid, just like heroin. And you are correct that theoretically, in some places, there are methadone maintenance programs, or maintenance programs, rather, that use heroin rather than methadone. So it is substituting one opioid for another, but it's doing so in a way that in almost every case creates harm reduction when it's done right.
So, B, back to talking about the counselors. How many counselors do you have? What's their workload? What's it like?
Counselors, currently we have approximately 35 licensed chemical dependency counselors.
Are they just operating in offices, or are they going out into the streets?
It's, for the most part, in the offices. We do have some that go out into the where the patient is at, or where the client is at, and try to engage and bring in the patient. The caseloads are high.
Okay.
And that is, again, because of that shortage. Our turnover rate currently for this past year is at about 35%, which is high.
And Jeff Zornitsky, is that about what you're seeing also?
Yeah, we're seeing about 35%. That's probably a good average. And in the studies that have been done, it's really revealing. In one piece of work, folks tracked addiction counselors across a number of agencies nationally for 3 years. And the amazing thing is that nearly 50% of the folks that were there at the beginning were gone at the end of 3 years. That's, you know, roughly half the workforce.
Yeah.
So that's a major, major problem.
And so is it to be effective, that's not a good thing. So I guess it would be helpful to identify or to make people aware of what the challenges are up front, in order so that if you're losing so many people in a year's time, that's a lot of training that's lost.
Correct. And I think, you know, something that the center does as we try and tackle this multi-pronged issues.
That's getting worse.
Is that, yeah, we try to approach it from addressing not only the substance use, but usually by the time they're at our door, there is some mental health issues going on. There is unresolved trauma. And so what the center tries to do is to offer an integrated model approach to treatment, where we're addressing their medical needs. There's undiagnosed diabetes, high blood pressure. We have a primary care clinic co-located, which is pretty innovative, which is something that we're doing, which we're seeing is helping with healthier outcomes for these patients. These patients die a lot younger. So we're addressing the medical needs, we're addressing the mental health needs, getting them to psychiatric services, medication, addressing the unresolved trauma, just tackling it from all angles in a multifaceted approach.
All right, I'm going to take one last caller really quickly. Melanie. Melanie, hi, you're on the air with The Source.
Hi. My comment is about the methadone clinic there in San Antonio. I have a niece who's been going to the clinic for about 2 years. She may have had some counseling in the beginning. It's my opinion that she is basically in the same situation as she was when she started taking illegal painkillers, which started out as legal painkillers. The only difference is she can actually walk up there and pay someone there to give her the methadone. I had another sister who was on methadone for over 20 years, had eventually passed due to liver failure.
Right.
My question is, aren't there resources other than, I mean, after they've started methadone clinics, I mean, do they ever get to come off of the methadone?
All right, Melanie, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. And so, doctor, really quick.
Thank you, Melanie. Yes, there certainly are other resources than just methadone. In fact, there's a strong move right now to use what are called opioid antagonists, which are things like naltrexone and naloxone, to try to create a non-response to methadone when it's used. So we're going to see more of that.
All right. So Dr. John Tennyson is the medical director of the Center for Healthcare Services, Opioid Addiction Treatment Program and Methadone Clinic that's downtown on Frio State. With him is Abi Kotwa. She is the Director for Addiction Treatment Services at the Center for Healthcare Services also. And we were joined by Jeff Zornitsky. He's the Director of Strategic Initiatives for Advocates for Human Potential. Thank you so much. And when we come back from the NPR and local news break, we're going to be talking about the war on crime and mass incarceration in the United States. Was this an unintended consequence from the war on poverty? Stay tuned.